Sunrose Yoga. Reveal and remember your sacred nature through the practice of yoga. The Sunrose Yoga Podcast is a collection of audio recordings, videos, and writings about the practices of yoga. The podcast's mission is to share the teachings of yoga in an accessible way and to foster meaningful discussion about the practices. To learn more or to experience past teachings, please visit sunroseyoga.com. The Sunrose Yoga Podcast is made possible by the generous donations of students and supporters. If you find this podcast useful or beneficial, please consider making a secure online donation by clicking the donate button at sunroseyoga.com. And thanks. Hello, my darlings, and welcome to episode 108 of the Sunrose Yoga Podcast. This is a new moon class. It's all levels, little bit of everything, meditation, pranayama, asana, discussion, the works. Thank you, as always, for being a part of this work. Thank you for being here. Please do get in touch. I've been so captivated and overwhelmed with love and joy, all of the beautiful emails and comments I've received recently. Go to sunroseyoga.com for all of the ways to be in touch. I also have a couple of spots left for my September retreat in northern Minnesota. We're going to canoe under the stars. We're going to call the moose. We'll practice the art of sauna and take our yoga practice out into nature and into the interior landscape. I hope you'll join us. All the details are at sunroseyoga.com. My love to each and every one of you.
I didn't mean to do that. So I'm just back from a little time with my teacher, and we gathered in Sisters, and we had some nice hikes and some nice sits outside. And one of the things I've been noticing is just how different the clouds are here than Sisters. It's just the difference in the color of the sky, the shape of the clouds, even when they're the same type of clouds, they're just so different. So it's nice. One of the things that's nice about the summer is that we can really integrate our practice, the things that we do in here, becoming more curious about what's happening in our bodies and what's happening in our monkey minds as they hop from clouds to tea. When we have this opportunity to be outside more comfortably and to notice those magical details, it can enhance your practice. It can really bring things together. So that's my news, I guess. Clouds and tea and being outside. So while I lock the door, let's find a seat that you can sit in for a couple of minutes. And that can be cross-legged, or it can be on the heels. With many props, or no props at all. And always remember that if sitting isn't right, you know, it's just not correct for your body for any reason, you can always lie down in constructive rest. And we'll allow the eyes to close or soften so much that you're focusing on everything and nothing. We'll settle into the seat. And as you really let yourself sit into your sitting bones and into the earth, you might feel a sense of relief or release through the hips. And begin to simply relax into the length of your spine, the length that is already happening, the length that is already there. As you relax into this length, your awareness might sort of naturally come to the generosity of your breath and the miracle of breathing. And it doesn't have to be a certain way. It doesn't have to be anything that it's not already. And you might bring a hand to your heart and a hand to your belly, or two hands to your heart, or two hands to your belly. And notice what you feel with your hands. And notice what it feels like to have hands on the body. And I thought that we could begin this morning by making a little bit of sound, by making the sound of Om without worry. Worry not. And we'll make the sound three times with the instruction being to do it in your own time and in your own way. So it can be a whisper, or it can be a loud, vibrating song. I'll just do it three times after a full cycle of breath together. Deep breath in and out and in.
Oh.
might release your hands with the palms facing up and just notice what you feel. And that idea of noticing, just being more curious about what's already happening, will be our guide, our North Star in our practice. So if you're ever unsure of what to do, just notice what you feel. And in your own time, in your own way, we'll move to all fours, hands and knees, table pose, Chakravakasana. And we'll take a big, beautiful breath here, just sort of like relaxing into the fullness of the back of your body. And whenever it comes to you, we'll let a breath out, move the hips toward the heels and the forehead toward the floor. Bhaktasana, devotional. And we'll use the length of a breath in to draw the body back toward table. And as you breathe out, we'll tuck the toes under. Move the hips toward the heels and lift the bum toward downward facing dog. And we'll move through this flow, this little vinyasa a few times at the pace of your breath. Giving the body and the breath a few rounds of these movements to find each other and to remember that and they're always together anyway, already. We give ourselves a lot of space with the shapes and to find our way in and to feel our way around them. To begin and continue this radical work of like listening to our own body, to our own experience. And it's not always easy. Like as painful as it can be to have someone else telling you what to do all the time or what you're supposed to look like or what you know you're supposed to feel like, it can be really challenging when you have that first little glimpse of something else. Someone's not telling me I'm, you know, doing it wrong or less than or, you know, too thin, too fat, too orange to blue, whatever. Like there's bravery required in freedom. And so maybe the next time or two that you land in downward facing dog will stay there, will linger there for a few breaths. And start to get to know downward facing dog. You might bend things or shift things, or round things. And sometimes it's, you know, really helpful to come way out of the pose, to know what the pose is. You know, like if you're
very disciplined about a certain way of doing things, it can be really interesting to, for one day, not do them that way. You know, like if you're really diligent about getting up and sitting in the morning, try not doing it one day and just notice what happens, what your mind does. And so from here, we'll do this little like lengthening of the side body. You might bend one knee at a time. And just sort of like sink into the length of the other side of the body, increasing the distance between the hip and the armpit with your switching sides. Coming back to the center. And in time, we'll breathe in and lower the knees to the earth. And we'll breathe out and move the hips toward the heels. And we'll just sort of settle into Bhaktasana for a few moments, like just allowing gravity, allowing what's already happening to keep happening. And while you're there, just starting to become aware of space. You might notice the distance from your sitting bones, maybe the right sitting bone, to your belly button. You might notice the distance from your left sitting bone to your belly button. And so, like, this is helpful, especially if you, you know, have a part of your body where you feel tightness. Is there anyone who can't relate to that? Where, like, there's no part of your body. You can just wiggle your fingers. Because I want to know what that's like. But so, if there is a part of your body where there's tightness, it's helpful to start becoming aware of the space that's already happening. And so as it comes to you with a breath in, we'll move back toward table, all fours, hands and knees. And as you breathe out, settle into the length of your back. And as you breathe in, we'll step the right foot forward between the hands. And you can elevate your hands on blocks or keep them on the floor. And we'll tuck the left toes under. Now, for some of you, it will feel right and correct to leave the left knee on the floor. For some of you, it will feel right and correct to lift it away from the floor. And we'll just begin just with some simple movements, some rocking movements, where we'll inhale and rise up into the hips, straightening the right leg, letting the head become heavy and the spine round. And we'll breathe out and come back to the lunge. And we'll do it, you know, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 times, maybe more. Giving yourself lots of space to figure out, like, okay, how do I do this? And then really getting into, what do I feel? And when I say, what do I feel, like, I don't mean, like, I feel happy that we're doing this. I mean, like, oh, sensation in the body. You might also feel the happiness, but let's tap into the sensation. And so maybe the next time or two that you're exhaling into the lunge, we'll pause here and we'll just refine a little bit. And our safety alignment cue is that the front shin never goes beyond perpendicular with the earth. So if you feel like you need to move that knee way forward to get a lunge, scooch your left foot back. Nice, everybody. Good, so from here, let's find the length of our body from the left heel to the center of the right knee. And from the left heel to the center of the heart. Nice. And from the center of the heel to the center of the forehead. So as you take a breath in, we'll step the left foot forward. And as you take a breath out, we'll step the right foot back. And so we'll find that lunge. It can be high or low. Right knee can be elevated or on the earth. And at the pace of your own breath, we'll breathe in and rise up into the hips, straightening the left leg, letting the head become heavy. And breathe out back to the lunge. And move like you. Move just like you. No two people will do it the same in this room, probably. Get used to feeling. Give yourself lots of room to experiment with what's happening in the hips, what's happening in the upper back. Yeah, Sherry, nice. What's happening in your hands or between your toes? And maybe after the next breath out or two, as you come into the lunge, we'll pause there and we'll just relax into the length that is already happening from the center of the heel to the center of the knee. From the center of the heel to the center of the heart. And from the center of the heel to the center of the forehead. And with a breath in, we'll step the right foot forward to meet the left, and we'll dangle in Uttanasana, standing forward fold. Let the crown of your head be heavy. Let the back of the skull be soft. Maybe bend the knees a little or a lot. And just remember, like, there's nowhere you need to get to. There's no prize for touching the floor, especially if that tweaks your back. So just let yourself get into the habit of, like, water falling from the hips.
Liquid over the neck, over the back of the skull.
Holding onto the shape loosely enough so that you feel lots of movement here. And if you're feeling compelled to sort of sway from left to right or from front to back, then do that. And with the breath in, we'll press the feet into the floor, like make contact. Maybe bend the knees a little more, and we'll start to roll all the way up towards standing. You might sweep your arms out to the sides and reach the fingers up overhead. And as you breathe out, you might bring your hands to your heart in whatever way makes sense. And just notice. relax the arms. And so in time, we'll take one of our blocks and we'll place it between the thighs. And so the instruction that the Yoga Sutras give us, you know, about asana doesn't have anything to do with like our pinky toe doing anything or our pinky fingers doing anything. It's about like this balance of effort and ease, of sweetness and steadiness in every moment. So that is what we're looking for. This block helps us do that because there's a tendency for a lot of us to like, you know, overdo it, to live in the world of like total strength and steadiness, the sthira, without the sweetness, the sukha. So as you engage with your block, like, can you make your interaction awake, alive, but also a little pillowy? The tailbone be heavy. And the bottom of the bowl of the pelvis soften just a little bit. And we'll start to move the belly button toward the back of the body by like a millimeter. And this gives our heart room to bloom. And as you breathe in, we'll sweep the arms out to the sides and reach the fingers up overhead. And with soft arms and hands, can you bend at the elbows, turning the palms to face forward? And we'll do that a couple of times, like inhaling, reaching skyward, and exhaling, bending. Just paying attention to where you might have a tendency to harden. And the next time that you're exhaling into the bent elbow shape, we'll pause here. And you might notice if you've sort of hardened in your legs or hardened in your face, and let things become a little softer. Let your hands become a little more fuzzy. As you breathe in, we'll reach the fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, we'll dive forward with steadiness and sweetness. And at the pace of your own breath, we'll inhale and come up halfway. So lengthening from the tailbone to the crown of the head. And exhale, fold forward, Uttanasana. And we'll do it a handful of times, you know, so you can get the hang of how do I do this, and let that sort of naturally unfold into what do I feel. And if you really let yourself be with that, how, what do I feel, like usually a part of the body
will start to reveal itself to you. You'll start to experience a joint or a bone so that you actually know it. There are so many ways of knowing, but we don't really know until we know. Yeah, oh, beautiful.
And so the next time that you're coming up halfway,
we'll stay there.
And you might inch your hands to your shins or to your thighs for support. And you might, with a breath out, just start to bend the knees a little bit, almost like you're just sort of like, oh, should I sit down? No, I'll just do this. Let your tailbone start to become heavy so that your low back rounds a bit. And start to draw your belly button toward your spine. This will give us some space to let the heart bloom. Release the hands, and with a breath in, start to sweep them forward. And you might turn the palms to face the sky and let it almost feel as though you have pillow arms, pillow hands, holding a pillow. And as you breathe out, fold forward. We'll release the block from between the legs. And with a breath in, we'll step the right foot back about a leg's length, lowering the heel down to the earth, and we'll find our way toward Virabhadrasana 2, Warrior 2. So the left knee is bent, the right leg is straight and strong, arms are extended out in T. And since it's morning, or since it's whatever time of day, you might come in and out a couple of times. You're always welcome to saunter, to mosey, to meander. I love language. I love synonyms. I have a new synonym that just occurred to me for booty, which we'll use now. Okay, so. In this shape, can you fire up your keister, like that one, on your right side? Engage. I also abhor the word glutes, so I avoid it at all costs. Good, so keister fired up. Can you feel the right heel making contact with earth? And can you let there be a little bit of space for your lungs on the left side? With a breath in, we'll start to straighten the left leg. We'll bring the right hand to the right hip. Breathing in here, as you breathe out, start to shift your hips toward the back of your mat. As you reach your upper body toward the front of the mat, releasing your left hand down to your block or to your shin or to your thigh, lengthening, softening, Trikonasana. You might extend your right arm toward the sky. You might experiment with letting something be pillowy. Maybe it's your face.
I would love a day where we all just gave ourselves space not to worry about what our face looked like, the expression, and we just walked around with like, relief. Now from here, let's inhale and cartwheel the hands toward the earth. And as you exhale, we'll step the right foot back forward to meet the left. Uttanasana, standing forward fold. Bend your knees a little, bend them a lot. Like really let this be a place of release. And as you breathe in, we'll come up halfway. And as you breathe out, we'll start to bend the knees a bit again. So we're coming to like half Utkatasana, Ardha Utkatasana. Let the tailbone be heavy. Let the belly find the back of the body and let the heart bloom. Don't worry about what it looks like. Just feel your way in. We'll release the hands and with a breath in, start to bring them forward and up so that they're about parallel to the floor. And then let them become fuzzy. And with a breath out, fold forward. And just for the sake of experimenting, while you're folding forward, engage your keister. Just engage your glutes. Interesting, huh? And so after you relax the effort of that, with the breath in, we'll step the left foot back, lowering the heel to the earth, and then rising up toward Virabhadrasana 2. The right knee is bent, the left leg is straight and strong, and the arms are just sort of like floating on the surface. Soft shoulders. Finding the balance of effort and ease. Maybe taking a peek down at your right big toe. And seeing if your knee is tracking over your ankle. So you should be able to see your big toe to the inside of your knee. Very nice. And can you soften somewhere? With the breath in, we'll straighten the right leg. Bring the left hand to the left hip. And with the breath out, we'll start to shift the hips toward the left, letting the upper body just sort of stretch all the way to the right before releasing your right hand, either to the block or to your shin. And it's up to you here how open you are across the chest, how much lengthening you do from the hip to the armpit. Like for some of us, there's like instability in the SI joint. So doing lots of lengthening through the ribs might aggravate that. And you maintain the integrity of your spine. With the breath in, we'll cartwheel the hands to the earth. And with the breath out, we'll step back to downward facing dog, Adho Mukha Svanasana. And whenever I say downward facing dog, that can mean downward facing dog or puppy. Or Anahatasana, or table, or dolphin, somewhere where you can sort of settle into the length of your spine. And the idea here is to make complete contact between the length of each finger and the floor. So you might spread your fingers really wide
And then feel the length of each finger making contact with the earth. And you might feel a sense of just like tucking the chin ever so slightly. And for some of you, it might be helpful to let your gaze shift between your feet. Like your physical gaze might shift there. But what if your internal gaze moved toward your heart? And you started to notice like where your heart is in your body. And how your left lung holds it so tenderly. And with the breath in, let's lower the knees to the earth, to table. And in time, we'll start to move toward a modified side plank on the right side. So we'll plant the right hand, we'll plant the right knee, we'll extend the left leg back, and then start to open up. And it's up to you what sort of contact your left foot makes with the earth. And you might bring your left hand to your hip or your ribs, or you might reach toward the sky or reach up overhead. And maybe for a breath or two, it makes sense to exhale and round the back and inhale and arch the back. And remember, all of that can happen like really close to the spine, or it can be like big and wide. Just listen to what's happening in there. And you know, like, there's no right or way to do it than how you are. I will tell you if there are alignment notations that we need for safety. Beyond that, we're noticing how the shape and the body engage with each other. And so maybe in time here, you sort of settle in. And you might start to lift your left foot away from the floor. And that can be a millimeter or a foot or two. And you might notice what it feels like if you flex your foot or arch your foot. Or what it feels like if you shift the rotation of your shoulder, your left shoulder. And with a breath in, let's come all the way back to regular old-fashioned table. And as you breathe out, you might move to downward facing dog or to devotional or somewhere else where you can settle in to the length of the spine and to the gravity that's already happening. And notice what you feel. Left side, right side. And in time, we'll use a breath in to move the body back toward table, Chakravakasana. And we'll move into this modified side plank on the left side, planting the left hand right underneath the shoulder, planting the right knee or left knee right under the hip, extending the right leg back, and then opening at the hips, opening at the heart. And if it makes sense, you might encourage your tailbone to point in the same direction that your foot is, to let your belly find the back of the body and the heart bloom. And from there, see if there could be some rounding and arching that happens. And what if the rounding and the arching happened all the way out, or maybe only in your hand?
And in time, you might find that shape where you're sort of settled at neutral, with your tailbone pointing toward your right foot, your belly finding the back of the body and the heart blooming. And what if then you lifted your right foot away from the floor? Just in whatever degree makes sense. But doing it with this integrity of the spine. Yeah, nice. What feels sustainable? And as you breathe in, we'll move back toward regular table. And as you breathe out, move toward down dog or puppy or devotional, somewhere where the spine is free and long. And with a breath in, we'll step a foot forward between the hands. Doesn't matter which one. And with a breath out, we'll step the other foot forward. And as you breathe in, we'll press the feet into the floor, maybe bending the knees a bit, and we'll start to roll all the way up to stand. Maybe sweeping the arms, if that makes sense. The effort of standing. So since we have the space, let's use the wall. These are opportunities I like to take when we are offered them. Take your mat up to a wall. Please don't be shy. People can come right up next to me too. Won't do anything weird or abnormal. And what I thought that we could work on today is half moon, Ardha Chandrasana. And even if already you're thinking, I've done this pose 1,000 times, I don't need the wall, trust me, there is always something more. So Ardha Chandrasana, at the wall or not, is this shape. And there are a couple of ways of approaching, which is what we'll kind of experiment with. There is a conventional alignment, which involves lengthening from the hip bone to the armpit, kind of like Trikonasana where we just were. And there's almost like an external rotation that happens in the hip. This does not work for lots of bodies. It kind of pulls on the knee. So what we'll experiment with today is finding the rotation of the hip that feels supportive, that feels sustainable, but not lazy. So, you know, like there's that point where all of a sudden we're just kind of like, oh, here I am. And like this leg is doing nothing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being engaged, but also supporting like the natural rotation of the hip, your joints as they are now, your body. So we'll talk through it. Okay, so there are many ways of using the wall, but today we'll focus on two. The first was the back to the wall. The second is the front of the body to the wall, placing the foot on the wall, placing the hands on the wall, and engaging a little this way. So I'll talk you through it, of course, but that's just, you know, so that you're not like facing the wall wondering what the hell we're doing. Let's start on the right foot. And there will be space for doing it both ways, so don't feel pressure to start either way. Whichever way. So choosing whether your right leg is close to or far away from the wall will extend the fingers toward the sky. We'll shift the weight into the right foot And with the breath out, we'll start to hinge from the hips. So first we come through Virabhadrasana 3, Warrior 3. And we'll slowly start to release the hands down toward earth or toward your block. And if you've got your backside to the wall, this is where you sort of lean your tush, your tuchus, another synonym, into the wall and start to peel open. And if your body is facing the wall, this is the time to sort of engage, maybe pressing the ball of the foot into the wall, maybe pressing the hands into the wall. Good, so the experiments that we might run here are flexing the lifted foot, are finding like what you might, you know, like the Barbie foot, the floint, pointing, or letting it sort of flop. Rachel, let's try this. Right here, so I'm reaching out just a little bit. Yeah. And what happened to my foot? Now what happens if you encourage your tailbone to point in the same direction as your foot? And what happens if you start to draw your belly button toward your spine? Nice, Molly. Not too much of that, this Molly. Don't do too much belly. Belly hand. Not too much engagement there. And then so with the heart, the tendency here, as it can be with a lot of these shapes, is to like, you know, really go for it and really like bloom through the heart, which can be unsustainable. So let it be like day one of a rose, just unfurling, just the beginning. And with the breath out, let's start to come out. You might move straight into a forward fold, or you might come all the way up. And forward folds could be arms at the wall, too. So let's do that same way on the second side, and then we'll come back through and switch ways of being there. Anybody have field notes from side one? Okay, so we'll slowly find our way in, shifting into the left foot. And on this side, see if you can bring your head and neck into participation. See if you can have a softness in your right hip, but still keep the leg engaged. And what does it feel like if you bring this foot and put it against the wall? Ball of the foot. Yeah. Yeah. Very nice. And what happens, Aaron, what if you feel buoyancy in your bottom ear? Yeah. Nice. Beauteous. Every single person is doing this differently, and it is totally dialed in. Coalescing with the universe. Let's come out with an exhalation. Take your time to come up. Take your time. You might use the wall for some cat-cow action. And even if it's, you know, something you've done like 100 times or whatever, when the focus is balanced, like other things, you know, they sort of necessarily, we can't focus on them. And so having the wall is like, oh, I can really find other things in the shape. I could find other things in my body.
When we loosen the reins a little bit, you know, there is lots of movement that happens, and that's good, and that's okay, and that's like your body is moving whether you know it or not. So it's good. Yeah, the wall. Love it. Anybody else have things come up? So let's try it the other way. So if you were facing the wall, this time you won't face the wall, and vice versa. And if you want to add additional props or subtract or try something else, do that. Feel your way in. Notice like what contact is intriguing to you. So Sherry, you could even come a little bit away from the wall, like with every part.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, yeah, how's that? Good. Oh, your wingspan is just so beautiful. Nice, and nice and still. You can move away from the wall a good bit if you'd like, if it feels too much like, holy crap, this is claustrophobic. Now, what would happen, sweetie, if you tucked your toe under?
And,
yeah. How is that?
It's unstable.
Okay, you can move away from the wall quite a bit so that you can just sort of like dance with it.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Great. I love how everyone is working with their hips. The hips you have. Yeah. So if you haven't switched sides, then do that. And this time, if you could let your focus be like finding freedom in your neck and head and jaw. Like, don't worry what your face looks like. Good, and then in time, we'll start to come on out. And you might do a real nice, like, forward fold using the wall, either for your hands or your backside. Letting things be heavy and round. And after you've folded forward for a good bit, you might find your way into your version of malasana, your squat. And you can use the wall here, either for the hands or for the back. And the only alignment instruction is that knees and toes face the same direction. And a lot of that has to do with like how your hips naturally rotate. You might look to one side and the other. And in time, we'll come all the way down to the floor on our bums. How many different ways can I say that in one day? It's been a day. So any last thoughts on Ardha Chandrasana? This can be one of those, show poses. Do you know what I mean? Where there's very much like, oh, I want to stick it and look a certain way. Like is real. If you feel that, that's like something that happens. But it's also like there's so much freedom if we let go of that and really feel our way in. Like everyone else is worried about how they're doing it. They're not looking at you and thinking, well, Kelly really needs to externally rotate her hip. She's not doing it. Like no one is thinking that. So
But I know it's hard. I know it's challenging, but it's important.
Let's come down onto our backs in constructive rest, with knees bent and soles of the feet on the floor. And as you breathe in, we'll press the feet into the floor and we'll press the small of the back into the floor. And as you breathe out, we'll relax. And as you breathe in, press the feet and the small of the back into the floor. And breathe out, relax. And we'll do that a handful of times, just noticing the contact that the body makes with the earth. And the next time you press the feet and the back into the floor, we'll stay there just for a few breaths, just noticing the length of the spine and the length of the back of the body. And we'll relax the effort. And if you can, without using your hands, invite your knees to move toward your chest. And we'll let an external rotation happen in the hips, so the knees start to point out away from the belly button. And keeping the knees bent, we'll start to let the feet become a little lighter. You might sort of like softly flex them, like as though a pillow were resting on them. And if it makes sense, you might just bring your hands to the backs of your thighs or to your big toes, if you can do it without grasping, or to the outer edges of your feet, if you can do that without grasping. The idea is to remember the space that's already happening, from the right sitting bone to the point of the right hip, and from the point of the right hip to the belly button, and the space that is already happening from the left sitting bone to the point of the left hip. From the point of the left hip to the belly button. And if you have a hold of your feet or your legs, we'll release that slowly and let your heels become heavier. And you might help your knees to move back together. And holding on to the knees or the shins, you might just sway from left to right. And in time, we'll let the swaying stop. And as you breathe in, reach your fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, reach the arms up overhead. And you might extend your right leg and left leg toward the sky. And with a breath out, start to lower your right leg down toward the earth. Pressing the heel into the floor, breathing in to the length of the right side of the body. And as you breathe out, lowering the left leg all the way down. And just breathing in to the length of your body. next breath in, we'll make ourselves, just your body, just a little bit longer. And as you breathe out, let go everywhere. And we'll start to move in the general direction of a shape of rest or integration. So if there are movements still needing to be made, then make them. And the shape itself is whatever is restful to you. So it can be on the back or the side or the belly. Or sitting. Or with legs up the wall. And if the pull of sleep is still quite strong, you might leave the eyes open. You might begin to take deeper, more intentional breaths, noticing just how much you move as you breathe. And in a way that feels natural and right and correct for you, let that movement spread across your body. Make yourself as long as possible, or ball yourself into a round shape. And in your own time, in your own way, we'll move in the direction of a seat. Bring your hands to your heart once you are there. And somehow, perhaps the weight of your hands at your heart will remind you or reveal to you that you are more spacious and vast than you can even imagine. Thank you for sharing this space. I wish you peace on your path until we meet again and always. Namaste.